Thank you. It's great to be here and to be able to have the opportunity to speak in front of everybody and hopefully educate those who are new about New Thought. And for those who have been around New Thought for a while, maybe refresh some of that information, because sometimes it gets to be a while between information that we receive and some of it gets updated as well. So today I'm going to be talking about New Thought and what it is. And New Thought is more about the biblical and healing aspect of our lives. Some people consider New Thought and New Age the same thing. However, they are very different. And so I'm going to focus on New Thought first, and then I will discuss a little bit of what New Age is. But one of the nice things is that New Thought and New Age blend very well together. So even though they are two very different things, they are actually blended well, and we welcome all of that. So to start out with, what is New Age or New Thought? New Thought. New Thought is a spiritual and philosophical movement emphasizing the thoughts that can shape reality and that individuals can create their own well-being through positive thinking and aligning with universal divine intelligence. And that's one of the ways I like to think of divine. The divine itself is divine intelligence. I love that there's an intelligence out there. Another way that New Thought is thought of is it is the term used to describe the 19th century metaphysical movement in which mental healing was the key feature involved there. So when it comes to New Thought, in these days, I think one of the more modern terms would be, the placebo effect. Yes. So that's one of the big ones. It used to be like around the 70s, 80s, that term was used a little bit, but it was almost always used for athletes or maybe NASA. But it's a term that everybody can use because it is more mental. It is about the mental thoughts that come in. And as I talk about New Thought, Brian, if we can bring up the Phineas Quimby, we're going to start with who we consider the father of New Thought, or most people consider the father of New Thought, is Phineas Quimby. So I'm going to introduce you to a few of the characters involved in our lineage. So Phineas Quimby was considered the founder of New Thought, but one of the things that brought him to this was that he was sick himself. So that in like the 1830s, he was sick. He was a clockmaker, and he wasn't doing so well. He also had the consumption, which was pretty popular around then, because they had all the smoke from the cities, and they had the dry roads or muddy roads that the animals would leave their they would have droppings, to put it nicely. So the all this stuff, though, would get up into the air and cause respiratory issues. And one day when he was in his 30s, one of his friends would say, well, you know what? Mine was healed because I rode a horse. And he was so weak and unhappy with his physical ability at the time that he was willing to try anything, and he said, okay, I'll do it. But he was too weak to ride a horse itself. So he got a carriage and a horse and rode on the carriage. Well, as he's going up this hill, all of a sudden the horse got stuck in some mud, and hear Phineas Quimby, of course nobody's going by, was getting very frustrated until a farmer came along. And the farmer helped get him loosened up so that the horse and the buggy could get moving again. Well, they were there for quite a while, so the horse was pretty restless at that point. So when they got the horse and buggy going, the horse got going. So it took off quickly and fast, and Phineas Quimby could barely keep control of the horse and where they were going. But one of the most interesting aspects of his health came after that. When they got back to the stable, he was feeling that he was feeling stronger than ever. This wasn't somebody who left the stable feeling weak. He had returned being a different man. And from that time on, he became very curious, because he's actually a very smart man. He had a lot of interest in a lot of different areas besides clockmaking, and he did some inventions, so he had even patents out there. But this got him fascinated with the mind. Well, what was this that caused my healing so fast? Because I know it's something beyond just riding a horse. Well, he came across mesmerization. Well, that's actually what we would term today as pretty much hypnosis. So he found somebody because it was one of those things that was starting to come over from Europe and be introduced into the United States. So he found somebody that was teaching that, and his health started improving, and he found that he could do this really, really well. So he loved practicing with his friends and family, and then his reputation started growing and growing. And so he started having patients that would brag about him, and he would start traveling, and he started traveling with a friend of his. And his friend, he would put his friend in hypnosis state, and his friend would tell people what issues they were working with. And he even did that at one point with Phineas, who, even though his health had drastically improved, all of a sudden it started declining. And it had improved for years, but all of a sudden it started declining again. So what was causing this decline? Well, his friend, who had gotten really good being at diagnosing stuff when he was in this hypnotic state, said, your lungs are collapsing, one is barely hanging on, and you only have a little bit of the other one left. So you should do this. And he would give him natural remedies and natural things to do. And his friend Lucius was the one who was doing this. And so Phineas trusted him completely and did his suggestions. And guess what? He was feeling better almost immediately. So once that happened, Phineas Quimby continued on with his work and started even becoming more famous. So, Brian, if we could go to the next one. Actually, sorry, not that one, but the one with, perfect. Before Emma Curtis Hopkins, though, was a woman named Mary Baker Eddy. Yeah. And that's another name that you'll hear quite often in the Unity, is Mary Baker Eddy. Well, Mary Baker Eddy was having health issues, and that's one reason she came across Phineas Quimby. And he had gotten so good at his practice that she started healing almost immediately, and once again wanted to go into, I'm going to keep her stuff kind of brief, but she also was very fascinated with New Thought and went into that and teaching, and So when, I'll show you a lineage in just a couple minutes, but she also healed herself and with Phineas Quimby and using New Thought. And then came Emma Curtis Hopkins, who is considered the teacher of teachers, and we'll get more into that in just a minute. But Emma Curtis Hopkins was another one who sought somebody to help her along because, once again, same basic theme going on here, she was having health issues. So Emma Curtis Hopkins came across Mary Baker Eddy. So now we have Phineas Quimby, Mary Baker Eddy, and Emma Curtis Hopkins. And she started going to with Emma Curtis Hopkins, excuse me, Mary Baker Eddy. And once again, she was healed and became curious with her stuff. So she started her own schooling. Now, Mary Baker Eddy has created a schooling, but these two, even though Mary Baker Eddy and Emma Curtis Hopkins had worked together for a couple years, there was a little bit of a difference of opinion of how they wanted to express themselves with the schoolings that they'd come across, did, and how they wanted to move forward. So Emma Curtis Hopkins went out on her own, and she started teaching quite a few people. With her teachings, she came across Melinda Kramer, known of books, the founders of Divine Science, and of course Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, founders of the Unity School, Harriet Emily Cady, author of Lessons in Truth. So Emily Cady is a name that you'll see quite a bit. Annie Ricks Millitz, founder of The Home of Truth, and Ernest Holmes, founder of Religious Science. And most of you are familiar with Ernest Holmes, because that's one of the people who taught Michael Beckwith. So you'll see that lineage in just a minute. But, well, he didn't teach Michael Beckwith himself, but he was the one who created the Center for Spiritual Living, which is what it's called now, CSL. And that's where Michael Beckwith got his ordination. But Emma Curtis Hopkins was one of them that she ordained all of these people, and she also ordained Emmett Fox. So you'll find that Emmett Fox is named quite often in our Unity teachings. So, this is the simpler one, and the one reason I wanted to show you this one, because it does have Mary Baker Eddy, but Emma Hopkins was called the teacher of teachers because she was the main one who taught the Fillmore, she taught Ernest Holmes, she taught the Kramers and others, and like I said, even Emmett Fox. So, but one of the reasons, other reasons I wanted to show you this was because Ernest Holmes had taught Michael Beckwith, and this way we also can see somebody who is in New Thought that is considered, Michael Beckwith is our modern day New Thought teacher. And if we could go to the other lineage, the heavy duty slide. So that's why you see why I call it the heavy duty slide. So what we've done here, let's see if we can get this little pointer to work. But of course you see Phineas Quimby up in the left hand, and he taught a lot of people, and that's why I didn't want to get too much in there. It could take days to get through all of this. And because each one has such a fascinating history within themselves. But Phineas Quimby, then we go over to Mary Baker Eddy, over to Emma Curtis Hopkins, and over here down to Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. So now you can kind of see the direct lineage between the original New Thought, the father of New Thought, the teacher of teachers, and unity. Then we've got over here, which is a slightly different path, is Emmett Fox, Emily Cady, and Ernest Holmes. And we go up into, like, when it mentions philosophy and spirituality, we have Ralph Waldo Emerson and Thomas Troward. But those aren't necessarily considered New Thought, but they had an effect on New Thought. So that's one of the reasons some of these are in the lineage, because they started the history and then the others came along and really grew the New Thought.
Do you have some handouts, I guess,
what you got on the screen? Yes. There, I have a few handouts in the back, and if there's not any left when we're done, then we can still make more copies. But one of the things that happened around the early 1900s, when New Thought was getting established, was that they were trying to create associations, and Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, was joining some these New Thought organizations, and when they first started, it was actually groups of different New Thought organizations that just came together and met. Well, after a couple years of being part of the New Thought organization that was developed in the early 1900s, Charles and Myrtle felt that it wasn't really where they were going. They were going off and they were going more philosophical and not so much into the mental healing that really interested Charles and Myrtle. But so they withdrew, and then years later, after the organization restructured itself, they tried it again. So they did go out of it and they came into it again. But the one thing that Charles tried to keep in mind the whole time, his standard was what he called the Jesus Christ standard. Because there is a connection, strong connection, they believed. They wanted it to be what they called Christian-based, because he considered unity that they were trying to put together at that time, practical Christianity. So that's a term that came directly from Charles and Myrtle. To me, it's something that I have never really connected with, but a lot of people really do connect with that aspect. But it's something that we're a spiritual community. Not everybody has to connect with that, but that is where our founders came from. So we have the Jesus Christ standard. And to me, I don't know about any of you, I've been learning about Aramaic Jesus, Yeshua, and to me, Jesus is actually the founder of New Thought.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because the things he had taught, not necessarily the biblical stuff, but that is part of the real Aramaic Jesus, his true language, does go back to that. It goes back to the healing of the body. It goes back to using natural products and natural stuff and natural thinking. So, because he compared a lot of things with how things are in nature. So that's part of what I believe, anyway, is that Jesus, Yeshua, is the true father of New Thought. But we'll give Phineas Quimby the title just for the fun of it. Well, and one of the other things I did want to mention, though, before I finish, is what is New Age? Well, New Age is not necessarily about the Bible. It's not necessarily about mental thinking, but it does have a lot of modalities that fit within it. Hypnosis is not considered New Age, really. It was a tool that was used. So hypnosis is good. Tarot, crystals, massage, all of these things are actually what is considered New Age, but they are not New Thought. So I wanted to give a little bit of a difference there, and yet know that they are blended well. They are welcome here. But I hope that this helps give you a little bit of a insight into what is New Thought, what is New Age, how they fit together, the lineage, and hopefully you enjoyed that and learned some. Let's take a moment and settle in our seats, taking a deep breath in and letting it out, and just let the joy wash over us. So beautiful, so peaceful, knowing that we are spiritual beings here on a human journey. We'll let that joy just wash over ourselves. So easy, so natural, full of ease and grace. Letting the joy fill every muscle, every single cell, every single organ, every single system of our body, and know that we are spiritual beings on this human journey, and that the body is consistently, easily, and gracefully regenerating with every breath that we take. every breath that we breathe in and every breath that we breathe out. And know that our body regenerates and degeneration has no power over us. As Myrtle Fillmore would say, sickness has no power over me. Illness has no power over me. I am a child of God. I am whole. I am healthy. I am well. And let's just take a moment to let that peace, joy, wash over us as we go into that sacred moment of silence, knowing that the silence, your body is regenerating with every single breath. And breathing in, regeneration, breathing out any stress, tension, or worries, knowing that we can enter this sacred moment at any time, any place. The love washes over each and every single one of us. At all times, because spirit, divine intelligence, is love, is omnipresent, and within every single muscle, every single organ, and every single cell of our bodies. And so it is. Amen. Thank you.